Future presentation.
Welcome back to another Untitled Movie Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Rohrbeck, alongside, he's allergic to tomatoes, but he is tomato meter approved, Eric Marchin.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
Eric, are you Red Hulk, which would be certified fresh?
Oh, I thought you were going to be like Red Hulk is like in Heart Hulk, you know,
because it's
Valentine's
Day
as we're recording.
That too, but I was going with the tomato meter approved, right? Because like red would be fresh, right?
No, I'm green.
Green would be splat. So
green on today, this one.
Today we are reviewing Julius Ona's Captain America Brave New World, the newest entry in the Incredible Hulk franchise. So,
it only took 17 years, Matt, but we got the pseudo sequel we all been waiting for, and a little bit of Eternals in there for good measure.
By the way,
it is a Captain America film.
I mean, we'll get into that. This review will be, the movie's out now. It came out last night. We had a little preview episode, which went up a few days ago, where I talked about 30 minutes of footage I saw from the film, as well as some of the press conference stuff we did. So this will be a spoiler-filled review, but we will start with spoiler-free thoughts. So, and then we'll kind of go into full spoilers since it's already been out, because I feel like a lot of the stuff I want to talk about too, I just want to talk about freely without having to kind of dance around different things. This is an interesting one, Eric. So I love doing MCU reviews with you because I always feel like it's a fun conversation because, you know, I think people, we don't do a video version anymore, but I appreciate your commitment to the bit. Eric's wearing his Martin Scorsese Marvel Studios shirt, just so I can let audio listeners know, but which is everyone now. I always love doing these because, I think our podcast in general, I love the two different perspectives we bring. And I feel like that applies itself very well to the Marvel Studios movies of me being an MCU sicko.
Pill-popping MCU guy who's going to rage into a Red Hulk.
Exactly. Yeah. For me, I don't necessarily going to rage about the movie or anything like that. But, you know, coming at it from, I love this franchise for better or for worse. And, you know, each entry, I'll still run to the theater to see, even if, you know, maybe two of the aforementioned movies like The Incredible Hulk and Eternals are lower on the list. And then I love talking about where this could lead and things like that. This will be an interesting one because of what it does or does not set up. But, you know, I'll jump right into it because I guess I'm the MCU sicko. This is a weird movie. I'm going to keep it spoiler free. And I'll do it very briefly so we can just jump into spoilers. I don't know if this is one you need to run out to go see. Like, it's, I'm fighting with myself a little bit because, like, I don't think while watching it at any point I was, you know, bored or, you know, not, I don't want to say I was enjoying myself, but I wasn't like hate, which is like the lowest bar possible, but like I wasn't like hating my life watching it, you know.
Now
like,
let's go and look at Matt's Letterboxd ranking of where this falls.
It's pretty low, and I will say that like that's the easiest spoiler free review I can give is like, you know, I was watching it and I was like, you know what, I didn't hate my time, like I watched it, was fine, the action sequences are fine, like the fine is the only word I would use over and over and over again watching the movie. And then there are many negatives as well, which we will get into. So that's why I skew more negative than just kind of a mix kind of like, well, it's enjoyable. You can go watch it. I think the like it's enjoyable. Go watch it for me are the, you know, that middle group of movies, even like we make fun of Ant-Man and things like that. Like the first two Ant-Man movies are kind of in that, you know, there's some laughs. There's some action, like Paul Rudd's charismatic. Like there's some stuff in those movies that I enjoy and I think they're worth watching. Where this one, there's some cool ideas here, and I love the idea, especially in a political deep state, like secret thriller kind of thing, trying to emulate some of the tones from Winter Soldier, like bringing back characters from 16 years ago and who were teased in a forgotten movie, and things like that. Like I like a bunch of these ideas, or even Sam struggling with like, you know, following up Steve Rogers and being Captain America, like. I get what they're trying to do, and I think some of it is interesting. It's just it completely fails on the execution almost at every level. And it ends up being this really kind of muddled, like messy kind of, you know, nothing movie. And I think that's its biggest sin. So I understand the people that are much more negative on it being like sometimes middle of the road and kind of being just nothing is worse than something that's kind of awful, right? Like it's not awful. It's just kind of nothing. So it's such a weird movie when you're trying to establish Sam Wilson as a leader, as Captain America, no pun intended on the leader thing, but and then you kind of sideline him in his own movie to make a sequel to The Incredible Hulk and Eternals, and then even following up some threads from Secret Invasion with the president and stuff like that. So like you take three of your worst MCU projects or worst reviewed, worst, you know, whatever. And then you kind of take Captain America, this beloved franchise, and then Falcon, this, you know, side character to try to elevate him into this big thing. And then you don't follow anything up from his own TV show where he was struggling with that and things like that. And then you just kind of drop him in this movie where he feels like a side character in his own movie. He's the titular character. And you're just like, I don't even think about him when I'm thinking about this movie. So it's very weird. I think, you know, also having Harrison Ford come in and replace the late great William Hurt, I think is a very strange choice. Like I understand making this movie maybe, you know, 10 years ago or like in that kind of, you know, William Hurt showed up a lot in Black Widow and things like that. And obviously Civil War, he played a big part into that. And I feel like if William Hurt was still alive and I don't know if it makes the movie that much better, but I think at least the character feels more like the character we've seen throughout the history of this franchise. And then some of the payoffs in this movie that they want you to have, or some of the loose ends that they tie up from, you know, the history of the MCU and especially the Incredible Hulk movie, I feel like feel more earned or feel more authentic. Like there's a moment at the end of this movie where, you know, if you had another character for the Incredible Hulk there, two out of the three people are not in that movie. And then you're tying up loose ends from that movie. So when you have this emotional moment between these two characters near the end, it just doesn't feel like it's the same character. Like I don't buy into it. So then that happens throughout the whole movie. So it's just like a bunch of weird decisions thrown in a blender in this for me that just kind of makes like a what are they thinking? Like, why is this? You're already stumbling after Endgame, and then this is what you put out as a Captain America movie. So I sound super negative on it, and I think it's just because, like, it's like I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed thing where my expectations were low, and even seeing that footage, I was very mixed on it, and like it still didn't even hit that very low bar that I just wanted it to be kind of like entertaining, right? Have a few cool things in there and you just watch it and you're kind of stoic throughout the whole thing. The chemistry doesn't work between the characters. You know, I will say I liked Tim Blake Nelson. His character design was maybe not the greatest, but like I like him and I like bringing him back. I think that's cool, but overall, it's just, I think, super messy and just kind of a nothing movie. So those are my spoiler-free thoughts. So,
and you pretty much nailed it on the head of why this movie doesn't work. And it's partly because it's a sequel to a film that nobody wanted a sequel to. It's kind of the black sheep of the family when it comes to the MCU. And also what you're saying with the sort of disconnect between the characters and the actors. You have, you know, certain people returning from a film that was made in 2008, and then you have other actors who, as you mentioned with William Hurt, who are being replaced by Harrison Ford. And with that is kind of interesting as well. And I want to go back to that for a second, because William Hurt, obviously, you know, an Oscar winner and, you know, an acclaimed actor, but not a movie star in the sense that Harrison Ford is. So I think if William Hurt, and this is obviously just theoretical, if William Hurt was in this movie, there might have been more attention given to Sam, or the attention that Anthony Mackie is you know, that attention that's going to Harrison Ford might be refocused on Sam a little bit more, or Mackie's performance, because William Hurt is more complimentary, where I think Harrison Ford, you're really drawn to him as a movie star and not just as an actor. And so it's hard to get away from some of that as well, especially when, you know, you're also thinking about Harrison Ford's legacy as a movie star with films like Air Force One and the Jack Ryan films and action franchises that he's been a part of. And now, you know, he's entering a brand that is, you know, very well established. And so you're thinking, oh, Harrison Ford is now in a Marvel movie, and that adds credibility and cachet to, you know, a very popular franchise that will probably bring in a very wide audience, you know, from our age group to our parents to, you know, it ticks those boxes off. But I think because Harrison Ford is such an icon that it's almost distracting, and it's hard. You need an actor who's on equal ground in terms of performance, in terms of charisma. And Anthony Mackie, unfortunately, just does not have that. He's a good supporting actor. He's a good ensemble actor. But in terms of being a lead, it feels like the film doesn't have confidence in him. And that's the strangest part about this whole thing, is that you were mentioning he almost feels like he's a janitor coming in to clean up and tie up the Ross wrap-up of everything. And it's like, okay, well, who do we have on deck that we can use for this? Well, let's bring in Anthony Mackie to, you know, tie up these loose ends, because, you know, Mark Ruffalo would have made more sense in the lead role for this, but then it would have been truly like a Hulk sequel. And I guess maybe they split the difference because they had him in She-Hulk, the series. But bringing in Captain America, who almost feels more like he is the third or fourth main character in this story, it's baffling. It doesn't need to be called Captain America. It should have been called Thunderbolt or something like that, or Red Hulk, or like it doesn't make any sense. And then the stuff with the Eternals is very funny as well, because they're finally acknowledging, you know, the Celestial Island. It's such a strange thing, because then also you do have these little bits of Captain America, and even though we weren't maybe the biggest fans of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier series, I think there were moments within that show that were, you know, giving the character an arc that felt very progressive for the time. And politically speaking, if we're just looking at this from the point of view of, like, you know, a political thriller with paranoia, you know, elements added in, it's toothless. Like, it doesn't really have the courage of its convictions to talk about prejudice and race and, you know, the problematic nature of U.S. history within the context of the MCU in any kind of biting way. It's all very...
The show did that better.
It and did. Like, this yeah. doesn't. This yeah. this backs down from that. And, you know, that we'll get into it in spoilers, but there are even choices that Sam makes that feels out of character for him, or someone that, like, wouldn't, you know, like, would actually be thinking more about other people than not himself. And it's just, there are odd choices that it felt like, okay, this doesn't really feel like this is the best way to launch the new Captain America in a feature. It almost feels like this is basically a maintenance movie where Marvel is coming in and being like, oh, we have to, you know, somehow tidy up the Ross story, the Incredible Hulk stuff. We have to, I guess we should address the Eternals thing, because we really haven't done any of that. And, oh yeah, I guess we'll throw in Anthony Mackie in there, and we'll have some really forced and contrived banter between him and Danny Ramirez as Joaquin Torres. And then, you know, the whole thing about the reshoots and the Frankenstein cut of it all, with bringing in Giancarlo Esposito as Sidewinder. It feels like there's just so
Rest
much
in Seth Rollins. Maybe his maybe his acting career, but not like...
Yeah, which is strange because, like, you think, like, he maybe they might have still used him as the heavy for one sequence that's in this movie, where it's a fight between kind of a bigger guy and Anthony Mackie. It's strange because, like, it's not as jarring in terms of cutting. Like, there's stuff you'll notice, especially like someone like Matt, where like ADR, or like when an actor has, you know, their back to the camera and they're saying something, but maybe it doesn't really completely match up. Like, you notice those things more. But I think like it is coherent in terms of the narrative it's telling. But there is stuff that's in the trailer, like comedy movies actually, or comedies in general, where it's not in the actual film. Certain lines of dialogue or certain visuals that are in the trailer aren't in the actual movie. So it does feel like it was basically, you know, put back together and reassembled on multiple occasions, probably maybe until the last minute.
Totally. You can tell with some of the green screen and stuff too, which
is awful. That's the stuff that reminded, there's one shot, this isn't really a spoiler, but there's one shot of Tim Blake Nelson and of Anthony Mackie, and the distance between the two and the way that it's cutting, it looks like something that Tommy Wiseau or Neil Breen would have done.
And there's another shot in the cherry blossoms that looks really terrible too, right? Like, which was definitely like an insert, whether they shot a lot of that actually there and then insert. So there's some like technical stuff like that that you, I think, not most people wouldn't maybe notice it, but if you knew some of the history of the movie and how it was rewritten a bunch of times and reshot a bunch of it and stuff like that. And yeah, it's a messy movie. Let's get into spoilers, because I feel like people understand. Yeah, it's not a great movie. Do you need to rush to go see it? If you're a hardcore MCU person, you've probably already seen it by now, so you'll listen to the spoiler part. And if you're kind of someone on the fence, this isn't one that you necessarily need to run out to go see. And then
yeah, you don't need to cut a hole in the fence like in one scene.
You don't miss much. It's like Secret Invasion, right? Like, if you skipped it, you wouldn't. I could give you two bits of information and you'd be caught up, right? Yeah. Like, it's not something you really need. My mom was asking me about it, and I'm just like, I know she sees everything and she will go see this, or she'll wait till it's on Disney Plus. But then I'm like, maybe rewatch Incredible Hulk beforehand, because I feel like a lot of people maybe have only seen that movie one time. And then if you're bringing back characters from that movie that were a side character in that movie, and then yeah, there's one moment where, you know, the ooze drips on his head, the gamma drips on his head, and he turns like does gamma this creepy ooze smile. Yeah, and then you have another character who doesn't look like the other guy. Everyone's gonna be fucking confused. So yeah, let's get into spoilers. So if you haven't seen the movie, maybe dip out now, or if you don't care, stick around. Or if you've seen the movie, we'll get into more in 3, 2, 1. There's not like a lot to spoil in this, but I mean, now we can talk kind of freely. Like, we knew Red Hulk was going to be in the movie. The leader stuff was the stuff that they were kind of holding from most of the trailers, which I actually think it probably should have been reversed. Like, I actually think in the marketing, you probably should have just led. I know the Red Hulk stuff leaked and stuff like that. So, you know, they were like, well, people know about this anyway. So, and maybe that's so they didn't know how to market the movie. They're like, we need to throw something exciting in here. So, hey, it's a Hulk, but he's red. Like, and that's kind of some of my biggest issues with, like, yes, the Hulk is a menacing figure, right? Whether it was Green Hulk, Red Hulk, whatever color you want it to be. But I've seen a dude in a super suit fight a Hulk multiple times now, right? We've seen Tony Stark. We've seen Natasha run away from the Hulk. We've seen the Hulk fuck up everyone. And we've seen Thor fight him. We've seen Loki fight him. Like, it's just, we've seen the Hulk fight a superhero so many times that Red Hulk isn't that different, right? Like, it reminds you of Tony Stark fighting him, and Tony Stark needed a Hulkbuster, where I get the idea of Sam being like, I didn't take the serum, I gotta take this guy down myself. And then you're just watching the movie and you're like, bro, why don't you just fucking take the serum? Like, it just, like, it doesn't, it, there's no really bad side effects to it. Like, it's not like it's like, well, your heart will explode in 40 years or some shit. It's like, no, you become very strong, and it's a lot easier for you to do this shit. Like, you don't need to be so proud about it. And I think they never do a good job of, like, Sam fighting with that of why
that
he
could have been great
it.
Conflict, right? Yeah. Like in terms of like an internal struggle to, you know, to be Steve Rogers or to,
yeah,
you know,
like
go his own route.
It, but it's like that first fight where he fights that big dude and he like struggles with that guy. It's like after that, if I'm him, I'm going, fuck, man, I'm Captain America and I let this henchman dude almost get me. Like, I'm like, bro, just fucking take the serum. And then like, so him even fighting Red Hulk at the end, and I know it's the first time Ross is hulked out, so you'd think he'd be even more menacing because we know how, you know, Ruffalo, or I mean Norton, whatever.
See, that's where it gets messy too, right?
Yeah, and
again, it's all about
things.
The casting.
And then what I was mentioning earlier with Liv Tyler, it's like Liv Tyler showing up feels so like her interacting with Harrison Ford, it's like, I get recasting has to happen, right? But then that should have maybe been saved for Harrison Ford's been established as Thaddeus Ross for a couple movies now, right? We've seen reshoot some flashbacks from the first Incredible Hulk movie and just fucking put Harrison Ford's floating head on William Hurt's body. Just like, I don't know, but her showing up at the end too and just having this moment, it should have been like a emotional reunion, and then you're like, no, I don't believe that you guys know each other. Like, I don't see it. And because Harrison Ford and his performance in the movie, who I think is having fun, and I love Harrison Ford, but you make a great point too, Eric, that he is such a movie star and he's so many leagues above Anthony Mackie that it's just like, it is distracting that he's this character we have seen 10 times before this, I think. Like, William Hurt showed up like many, many times over the years, right? Like in different things, little things here and there. Maybe not 10, it's probably just a handful, but still an established character that we've seen. And taking the mustache away, only in one funny flashback we get the mustache.
Which is good. We almost got Zanzibar too, because they show footage from The Incredible Hulk. What we could have had.
Damn. And Big Slice, rest in peace.
RIP to a real one.
It's just, I never buy that he's that character, right? Like, I'm like, this isn't the same guy. It's just, even the way
it's just
like,
Harrison Ford playing this guy. It's not William Hurt playing Thaddeus Ross, right?
Or like, him even trying to do William Hurt's Thaddeus Ross, right? Like, it's not, he's Harrison Ford as Thaddeus Ross. And it's just like, it doesn't. And I think with the, you know, it's like, well, we've seen this before when they recast people. I get it, but this is an established character that we've seen numerous times that has, I'll use deep in air quotes, relationships with characters throughout these movies, right? Whether it's his daughter or whether it's, you know, Sam, or whether it's all the stuff in Civil War and stuff like that. But the Sokovia Accords, all that kind of stuff. Like, this is an established character. It's not going from, you know, War Machine, like just changing actors in between one movie.
Or
right?
Again,
like,
Mark Ruffalo, right?
Because yeah, Ruffalo. It's just one movie.
In the Avengers.
Yeah, that's a better comparison because of this being an Incredible Hulk sequel. But with Ruffalo coming in, it's just one movie. Okay, you can kind of forget about that very quickly, right? And maybe the more you see of Harrison Ford, if he's really going to be around that much in this moving forward, I highly doubt it. But they'll have him in Secret Wars or Doomsday for one sequence, right? Or something like that. But all of that is very weird. That last fight just did nothing for me because I feel like I've seen it 100 times. That opening fight in Mexico, was in Mexico, right? Or just really, you brought up the banter between, you know, Joaquin and Sam, and it just feels forced every single time. I like the Bucky sequence, but it is very much the like, like, oh, sorry, can't help you. Gotta go.
Which is so strange to have that at all then, because like the whole point of like that moment where Torres is down and out and being operated on and in critical condition, and Bucky comes to comfort Sam and have
this
that
world
moment.
Event is currently happening.
Yeah, like, yeah. And then he's like, oh, I've got to go, you know, to a
campaign
fundraiser. And, you know, you can make the meta joke. It's like him, like Sebastian Stan, you know, doing campaigns for both A Different Man and The Apprentice at that period, which is kind of funny. But there's a feeling of like, oh yeah, like if this was really happening in this world, Bucky would stick around and be helping out at this point, and or just be there more instead of saying like, hey, you got this, and then walk off. It's like, I gotta go be in Thunderbolts, you know, next, and that's where I'm contracted for. But you know, it is interesting because I think like maybe if you had Mark Ruffalo in this, and there were some scenes with him and Tim Blake Nelson, like even though Mark Ruffalo wasn't in The Incredible Hulk, obviously it was Edward Norton, at least there would have been more continuity and maybe there would have been more connective tissue. Because, you know, what you're saying with like that scene with Liv Tyler, like there's no emotional payoff to that because Harrison Ford has only played Thaddeus Ross once and he's had no interaction with Liv Tyler whatsoever outside of, you know, a phone call and the raft sequence at, you know, the end of the movie. And so, you know, like the film is so divorced from The Incredible Hulk and Eternals, like even Anthony Mackie doesn't have anything to do with either of those films.
Yeah.
That is strange too, because it's like the connection that he has, or the reason why he's, you know, involved in this is because of Isaiah Bradley, and Isaiah Bradley being arrested for a crime that he's framed for. And that is weird because as Sam being a former counselor and inviting Isaiah to the White House, which has a lot of baggage around and is triggering, just, you know, not on a, you know, mind control way that we find out later on in the film. You don't throw somebody into the deep end. You know, you say like, hey, if you want to come, like the invitation's extended. But the way that Sam talks to Isaiah is as though it's like, you're coming, where, you know, like he basically twists his arm, and it's such a strange choice in terms of a character moment and in terms of their relationship and forcing somebody to do something that maybe they're not ready to do or really don't want to. And I really like Carl Lumley as Isaiah Bradley. Like, I think he brings, you know, a stoic grounding to the material. He's not in it a lot, but he is very good in the movie. And he's good in the show too. And I really like that performance, but there's something about that felt like a little bit more of like a plot decision or a choice, because we need to move the story forward and connect Sam to the material.
It's like, there's not, other than Sam being Captain America and kind of being used by the government as their, you know, superhero, you know, there's nothing else connecting him to the rest of this, right? Like, and then that's the biggest, I think, thing is like, you had to make this Sam story, and it wasn't enough with the Isaiah Bradley stuff, right? Like, it's, I don't buy into it that he had this. I love all that stuff with Bradley as well, but I don't buy it that makes it Sam's story. If anything, it makes it Isaiah's story, or makes it, you know, Thaddeus's story, or, you know, the leader's story, Stern's story, and like things like that. So I completely agree with you. I will say about the Eternal Celestial Island, I don't mind that being part of, if you're going to do something more political in the MCU and the world's powers all fighting over the adamantium. Because I think, to me at least, having the Celestials being built of adamantium is interesting. And then having the world fighting over it because of, basically, we saw them even in Wakanda Forever and, you know, having the Wakandans controlling vibranium. Like, and that's been established at how important that is, and all the technological advancements Wakanda's been able to have because they've had this, you know, they were the only ones in control of vibranium, right? So I understand the world's powers all kind of fighting over that, or having to work over this treaty. So that feels more organic to me than all the Incredible stuff.
I still disagree with that, because I think you need to address it, but I don't think it's been interwoven into the narrative enough, because the Eternals still feels like this weird outlier to the rest of the MCU that we don't talk about, that we don't speak about. Like, I get it, but it's such a weird choice to make Sam, or to put it in the Captain America story.
No, I agree with that. I just mean what's happening with the island.
Yeah.
And what,
well, it's to set up X-Men. That's what they're doing here with this. Like, yeah, the adamantium. Like, but that's also a bit odd, because now you have Hugh Jackman in this world, And
well, it's
so,
a different. Well,
but he still has. Does he still have adamantium though?
Well, he does, but I would say Deadpool isn't. Yeah, this is where it. They go back to Deadpool's universe, right? So Deadpool's
oh, okay.
not.
I thought they were in the.
No,
MCU.
That dinner scene. That dinner scene is in okay. the OG X-Men universe, right? So technically, we know
that's
that
why
there
Jim
are...
Blake Nelson meant the others.
Yeah, yeah, it's Deadpool. Okay, to annoy everyone. The others coming, and he's really fucking annoying. No, that's in that X-Men universe, which, you know, we think that's where we see that post-credit scene with Beast at the end of the Marvels and stuff like that. We assume that that's that universe, maybe.
Or maybe it's another one.
Kind of merged. Yeah, whatever. It'll be interesting how they get through all this stuff. But
they're probably also referring to Fantastic Four, because Fantastic Four is supposed to be in another universe too,
yes,
right?
Yes, and then that will probably what opens things up, right? Like, I'm sure Reed Richards discovers a way to go to another universe, and then their universe is going to be under attack by Galactus and probably RDJ's Doctor Doom, and that'll be the multiverse kind of thing, and they escape to this universe to warn everyone that this multiversal villain Doctor Doom is coming for everyone. Which is cool. I'm here for that. I'm just, you know, counting the days to Fantastic Four, and I'm excited for Thunderbolts, don't get me wrong. But where was I going? Adamantium. Yeah, like, it is to introduce it to the MCU, and they will do their own version of Weapon X and the X-Men and all of that stuff. But and they started teasing mutants, of people having mutant genes. So it's just them setting up the next phase after the multiverse saga will be the mutant saga, right? Like, we all kind of know where this is going, and then that's fine.
Except for Ruth is not a mutant anymore. The Israeli character, the agent who's working for Forge, she's now
a former Black Widow.
Mm-hmm. So, like, it's interesting in terms of, like, what they're changing canonically and stuff. Like, that's fine. It is such a strange movie overall, because it feels like it is a Frankenstein cut, not maybe in the pacing or the editing of the film, but in the terms of the narrative and what is being, you know, brought in or trying to be reclaimed from the past mistakes. Cause it does remind me a little bit of, like, what the Star Wars universe, or what the creators and the people that are now sort of taking over Star Wars, are trying to do with the prequels, where they're trying to find ways into those movies that can salvage the spare parts or the things that maybe did work or are worth kind of going back and looking at a little bit more. And it's the same thing here, where it's like, okay, well, you know, we've addressed these things, we have all this leftover stuff from Hulk that we really haven't used, or maybe we can find a place for it, because it didn't really work with She-Hulk in the sense of, like, people weren't receptive to it, but maybe they will be if it's, you know, from the perspective of Ross, you know, hulking out and doing that thing. But it's so disconnected from a film that was released 17 years ago.
Well, you made a point of Mark Ruffalo, if he was the lead in this, if they just straight up made another Hulk movie, which I think they have the rights to now, that was a rumor, but then the rumor is that they might do World War Hulk. But, like, I'm more interested in a Hulk versus Hulk fight, even though we've saw that with Abomination and stuff like that. But I mean, just a straight up, you know, if you had, those are the two adversaries you'd think, right? Is Ross and oh my God, why am I blanking on
Bruce
Banner? God, my brain. I don't have that Samuel Stern's brain anymore. If you had that, I don't know. Like, if you just made this a straight up Incredible Hulk sequel, then it feels more earned to redeem some of the stuff from that movie, where, like, why? And I know what they were trying to do with Stern's here is, like, they were trying to take the essence of either Winter Soldier or Civil War, where you have someone like Zemo pulling the strings and is, like, this intelligent guy in the background who's kind of making things happen. But it never quite, you know, works. Like, I never really believe that he has this superhuman intelligence. Like, I just go, well, I don't know. Like, I feel like you're not really showing that you're that smart. Like, I don't know. You're telling me he is, but, like, I don't really see in anything that you're doing that, like, I'm like, oh, fuck, this guy knew every equation, every possible thing to happen, right?
Well, it's like Doctor Strange talking about, like, knowing all the different...
But the science version versus the mystic version, right? And, like, I never believed, though, that he's like, I see every possibility. It's like, well, you still lost. If you really, like, and you were constantly fucking up over and over again.
He's a statistics guy, really, you know, percentage-wise. Like, there's always,
and
like,
I know there's always a percentage thing that you won't succeed, and I get that. But, and then the Giancarlo Esposito stuff, like, he does really just feel like he's thrown in here, like in his like typecast kind of like, I'm a menacing dude. I can have good menacing dialogue with someone. So like it doesn't really, they set Sidewinder up as like this recurring kind of like, I'll escape and I'll get you, Captain America. And you're like, I'm like, I don't care. Like, I don't care. I'm sorry. Like, and then that's the kind of thing over and over again. You just kind of go, I don't care. And I think going back to Sam,
which
Wilson,
is Harrison Ford's line, I don't care.
Yeah. And you go back to Sam Wilson and Captain America, and I'm just like, you try to play with like, I need to prove myself. I need to be a leader. I'm in the shadow of Steve Rogers. And like you said, the movie doesn't really, it kind of doesn't believe in him either. Like, it just kind of, at every moment, I'm like, I don't know. The guy's like, I never liked Falcon, or I thought Falcon was fine. Like, it just, he was just there for
He's
me.
He's a supporting
like,
player.
And I didn't like his suit. I didn't like his power set. Like, I didn't like much about him. So then when you just throw that onto Captain America and he's not super powered, and so you have this kind of pseudo, you know, he's got sort of Black Panther's powers because he's got a vibranium suit, but then sort of Iron Man because he can fly around and shit like that, which is like, that's not what I think of with Captain America. The wings, I think, look goofy all the time. And like,
Joaquin's suit is even worse.
Oh,
they
Joaquin's
both look
suit
like dollar store superhero costumes.
I know. It's when Joaquin is first in his suit, and I'm like, did Falcon look this dumb in the other movies? And I'm like, do I just have like rose colored glasses? Cause like, I don't like the character, but I never once was like, I remember thinking I don't love his costume, but I never went like, oof, this is like Power Rangers bad. Like in when he shows up with his costume at first, and I'm like, oh, I
say whatever you want, but leave Power Rangers out.
No,
of
I love Power Rangers, but Power Rangers matches its tone.
Yes.
Right. Where this does not, where like, this is, you're supposed to be taking this serious, even if it's silly and supposed to be fun, but there are moments of intensity and things like that. I just think when he first shows up, I'm like, oof, you know, like sometimes it is hard to defend the MCU to the people who do hate it or think it's stupid.
Well, this is
children,
giving fuel
like,
to people, not like, not even like me. Like I again, like I'm on a case
you
by
like
case
to,
basis.
Yeah, and,
right?
And sure, you'll lean into the bit,
but not Marvel pilled like yourself or Harrison Ford in this movie. But there's that feeling of like, this is giving ammunition to the people that dismiss Marvel movies
every
outright.
Single one.
And I think that this is a good example of a past administration. Specifically when Disney was greenlighting every potential sequel or spinoff, and now them trying to be more conservative with it, but also having to clean up those loose ends and figure out a way where it's like, okay, how do we, you know, figure out like what the next step is? Because the other thing that we haven't talked really about that I guess would be in the spoiler territory is that Ross wants to start the Avengers again under his administration. And at the end of the movie, we have this quote unquote touching scene between Joaquin and Sam, where Joaquin says that he's always wanted to be like Sam, and that they should start the Avengers again. And so that's probably basically like the starting point now of like building to Doomsday.
Are they going to rethink that though? Like, that's
they probably
the
will.
Like,
I think that's it. But that's the other thing that I am a little bit critical of or opinionated on when it comes to Marvel. I think Marvel, they don't like to fail, or they're afraid of failure to the point where they will do not only reshoots, but they'll change the name of the movie. They do everything humanly possible.
I think they overthink some.
And that's the problem, right? I think sometimes you have to be open to even fail, like to even, you know, make the mistakes and and to move on, you know, and accept that for
it's
what
okay
it is.
It's okay to learn from your mistakes.
Exactly.
And change. But I think a lot of the times when you go, oh my God, it was reshot, so much of it, it was rewritten. There's seven credited writers, all this.
Well,
kind
there's
of stuff
five on
like,
this one.
I know, but I'm over
exaggeration, but it's
yeah.
true.
And I just mean, stick to your guns, hire filmmakers that, you know, no offense to Julius Ona, but I think he's sort of out of his, you know, like,
I mean, he's between a rock and a hard place right now, between him directing this and then the Cloverfield Paradox. And he has Loose in between, which is, I think, more
sure.
of like a personal film and for him. But
Loose is okay. I remember Loose being art is fine. But I just think when you hire guys who only have made a couple movies, and yeah, Cloverfield Paradox is on that kind of, you know, medium to high budget kind of, you know, big movie, whatever it was. I mean, kind of shoehorned into the Cloverfield movies, like Captain America shoehorned into this. It feels
Julius
like.
Ono, the shoehorn guy.
Captain Shoehorn. So I don't want to shit on the guy, because like I don't know if it's not his fault, right? Like if Marvel comes to you and goes, we want you to make a Marvel movie, of course as a filmmaker you're probably gonna go, give me that bag, and yeah, I want to challenge myself and do this. I just feel like if you look at the Marvel movies that have succeeded the most are probably, you know, I think of James Gunn, obviously, and stuff like that, where you bring in someone.
Ryan Coogler,
right? That's a great example of like people who really have a vision and understand what they're doing and want to execute on that. And you trust that person to make that movie, for better or for worse. Wakanda Forever didn't work for everyone, but you let Ryan Coogler make that movie. And I just feel like this feels like the too many cooks in the kitchen kind of thing, which happens with a lot of Marvel stuff, where we see it a lot in the TV shows, right? We've seen it them stumble through a lot of that, because I just feel like the constant test screenings and rewrites and reshoots. And I know all big movies get reshoots and rewrites and stuff. I get it. You make a cut and you go, ooh, this isn't quite working. Let's kind of rework this a little bit. But when it becomes like there's so much pressure, I think, when it's like, we have to make it fit into this universe and we need it as a launching off point for Captain America, but then we need to tie up loose ends from Incredible Hulk, and then we need it to set up Doomsday and Secret Wars, and then we need it to do this, and we got to appease these people, but then these people over here, and then we need, like, it just becomes
test screenings,
like,
surveys. Yeah, it's just been basically,
just make a fucking movie, and if it works, it works, and if it doesn't, it doesn't, and let someone who has a vision execute that vision, even if it doesn't work. Like, I just feel,
well,
like,
why do you think like James Gunn and Ryan Coogler, who like at the time when they first started didn't have the clout that they do now,
sure,
but because of that they do. But like I look at something like Iron Man 3, and the reason why Shane Black got to make that movie is because Robert Downey Jr. was friends with him, and Robert Downey Jr. at that time
had a lot
still
of,
is it has yeah. that clout and has that sort of he can make those moves and get someone like Shane Black in, and then protect Shane Black from, you know, being tampered with in the way that this movie has been clearly, you know, boiled down to just like a nothing of a movie. And it plays it so safe. And it's there's nothing there to really talk about in the sense of Sam's arc or where that story is going, or even just, you know, it's interesting to have the conversation of like, why did they decide to make this basically an Incredible Hulk sequel? But in terms of like the movie itself, there's really nothing there. There's just, it's just another placeholder to get to the next Marvel movie or the next big event. And you can maybe take like one or two things that you'll find in a supercut on YouTube later on that'll explain like why this was important to, you know, the continuity of the next Avengers film or the continuity of, you know, whatever else happens. And I think maybe as well, like, obviously, where we are now in the world, specifically talking about the US, I wonder if people will be maybe turned off by that as well, that they don't want to go to something that's supposed to be escapist entertainment and then have to, you know, hear Harrison Ford used the word treaty 100 times. You could basically make a drinking game out of it and be almost reminded of tariffs instead of treaties. But also like the idea of Harrison Ford not playing Trump figure in like a one-to-one, but the idea of somebody's ego getting in the way of the greater good for America. And, you know, like even the end when he's imprisoned in the raft, let's be real. He would have pardoned himself and he would have ended DEI hires right away. Those are the first two things Harrison Ford's Thaddeus Ross would have done.
Yeah.
And so it's such a naive take on how politics work that it's like, it feels like Marvel just doesn't really understand, you know, how to approach some of that.
How many presidents has this universe had in the last?
I know. And where is the vice president in all of this? Yeah. Like, where is the Hulk Billy Elegy book that we're going to get after this? It's just, it's so strange, this movie, because it's not very good. It's at the bottom of, you know, it's not Secret Wars and it's not The Incredible Hulk, but it's close.
Secret Invasion. Yeah.
Secret Invasion. Sorry. It's in that grouping of like bottom tier movies that feels basically more like filler than it is actual, you know, like it actually has importance, or it feels like an event film. It feels like an off-brand version of a Marvel movie, which, you know, is not the place you want to be right now because they're trying to regroup. And we talked a little bit about this on you know, the press conference and footage thing, where, you know, I don't like Deadpool and Wolverine, but the success of that movie coming after this, it's like you probably want another movie that's going to have the same amount of weight to it. And it'll be number one in the box office, but it's not.
I don't think you're
going to
get that until Fantastic Four. Yeah. And I really do think Fantastic Four will hit, whether it hits from a, you know, critical or entertainment level, I don't know. But I think the excitement around that reminds me of big Marvel movies like a Deadpool and Wolverine or a Guardians 3 of recent memory or stuff. Like, I know Quantumania, there was all these expectations for it. Multiverse of Madness. I think those were the two stumbling things that people were really excited for both of those movies, because they felt like the big multiverse kind of, oh, we're doing this new thing. The saga's starting. It's going to be all these cameos and different things happening. And, you know, I look
just
back
a wet
at
fart.
I mean, I look back at Multiverse of Madness a little bit, you know, I think at that time I was like mixed.
We were excited about Sam Raimi though.
And
I think that was the thing.
Looking back on it, I'm more fond of it than some of those other ones. And I at least you let Raimi do a little bit of Raimi in there. And like, even looking back at Eternals, which I'm very hard on, sounded weird. I at least appreciate they did let Chloe Zhao kind of do her thing with shooting on location and stuff like that. And that didn't quite work, but it is what we were talking about. At least, like, I don't know how much they interjected and changed that movie, or they just let her make that movie. And unfortunately, it didn't work. And the expectations were a little bit higher because you had someone like her attached. And then, you know, looking to the future, I mean, we haven't talked about the post-credit scene, which is kind of another, like, to sum up the whole movie, is just like, it's a nothing sequence. And you're just like, okay, if you don't have anything, you don't need to do it. It's just, I get that you're like, oh, this guy can see everything because he has all the equations. It's just like that Doctor Strange moment that you're mentioning of like, he sees everything, so he lets him know there's one way of doing this. And I'm assuming they'll even go back to that moment with Robert Downey Jr.'s Doctor Doom and being like, I was the one who, I needed that Tony Stark to die so I could blah, 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 blah.
Okay, now he's sounding like Blofeld, the Christoph Waltz version.
It will be like that. You know it'll be like that. You know it will. Like,
yeah.
They love doing that shit, going back to previous events and saying it was the plan all along. Like, movies just love doing that. And am I a sucker for that? Most of the time, yes. But the scene with Samuel Stern just being like, I've seen it and they're coming. And I'm like, you never did anything for me to believe that. Why the fuck would you know that? And I guess because you're like, oh, the probability is that other worlds exist and that they would come here or whatever. But that's just a weird thing to drop in this post-credit sequence, other than like, oh, we have to remind you that, yes, we are still killing time until the multiverse crossover thing, right? And
well, you think it'd at least try to set up maybe even just Thunderbolts a little bit more, since that's
what I
next.
Thought, right? You have a character named Thunderbolt Ross.
And he's talking about the Avengers initiative.
Yeah.
So like, do something with that.
Like, I don't know if Harrison Ford does show up at the beginning of that movie with Julia Louis-Dreyfus setting up that team. I'll just be like, why didn't you do that as a post-credit sequence? You even had Bucky here. Like,
yeah,
it was very weird to not set up that movie. But then the way that they leave Ross in kind of a more like, I've changed, I'm a good man now. Like, it's like, I don't know if that's like, and then you're having a movie called Thunderbolts with an asterisk, and then you're like, all right, how do you not connect those two things? And
unless they become Dark Avengers, right? Like, that's,
or I think they might go Secret Avengers than Dark Avengers, but they might go Dark Avengers, but I do think by the end of it, that's what they'll call themselves or something like that, because and then the title card even at the end credits might be different than
the beginning of Dune with Dune Part One coming up, or the end of John Carter, and it'll be John Carter of Mars, you know.
So yeah, it's, you know, kind of, you said a wet fart of a movie, and it just kind of is that.
Well, it reminds me of Ant-Man 3 too, because I think like that's the other thing where it's like Ant-Man versus Kang in that final battle. It's like, okay, really, like Ant-Man's out of his league here, or supposed to be out of his league in terms of how you've established Kang and the way that, you know, the Hulk or Hulks in general have been established in the MCU, to verse somebody that is, you know, serum free, it's just not believable. And even, you know, like, it's self-aware enough in that moment to be like, yeah, I should have taken the serum. But it's like, well, yeah, why didn't you take the serum? And to your point before, when we were talking about it, it feels like that could have been an interesting point of conflict for Sam personally. And there's no character development for that character whatsoever that wasn't established in Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Exactly. He should have been struggling the whole movie. He should have had the fucking serum at his apartment. Looking at it being like, I don't know, man. Like, if you're going to be that, just have him fight with that the whole movie, right? Of being like, he keeps getting beaten down and he keeps getting beaten down and he doesn't believe in himself because he's just like, I can't do this because I am not Steve Rogers. I haven't taken the serum. And I know they played a little bit with that in Falcon and Winter Soldier, but I don't know. I think they, especially when you're fighting a Hulk and even saving the Hulk stuff to that last sequence, I don't think it gives it enough time for him to be like, I'm fighting this guy. Like, he should have fought with Ross's Red Hulk earlier in the movie and then had another showdown with him later, like, and then having to be like, I should take the fucking serum, and then be like, no, I can do this. And I never buy that he's struggling with that throughout, right? They kind of play it off as a joke, and then like it never establishes as like, I believe in this guy can save the fucking world. And I don't know if they're gonna like try to do that more in the next movies and him fight with that, or maybe play with some of the reactions of this movie. I don't know who else you have step in that leader role then, because it seems like they've changed it a couple times. It was going to be Brie Larson with Captain Marvel, and then
that didn't work,
so they were like, ooh, okay, maybe not. And then we're like, okay. And then everyone, when Steve gave the shield to Sam, everyone wanted him to give it to Bucky, right? And then like, they play on that meta kind of thing a little bit, but they just never go deep enough, right? It's just like, it kind of just has all these plot threads throughout this movie that they kind of just toss to the side and then just make a generic action movie, right? And then like, they never go deep into the character moments, which I'm not saying the MCU has, there are some movies that have great character moments. And I think the summation of a lot of these movies, I love a lot of the characters, and I do think that they have great character arcs and great character moments for popcorn movies. I'm not saying it's, you know, a fucking like amazing, but I mean, for fun comic book stuff for comic book fans, I think they've done a good job with certain characters.
And the relationships within each story make sense in terms of like, established characters, but also bringing new ones into the world, where this again all feels forced, where it's like you're taking all these other separate pieces and trying to make something work together, but they're so far apart that they haven't had any time to really, you know, collide or coalesce together in a way that feels like, okay, like now we've established a relationship between, you know, Mackie and Ford and as these characters, and, you know, the Incredible Hulk of it all, you know, has boiled off the 2008 version. And now we have like a different version of it, but it's still the same. Like, it would have been more interesting if they did a multiverse thing with this as well, where they had, you know, if they were able to bring back Edward Norton and do something with that, because it's just like right now, it just feels like you're trying to force puzzle pieces into places that don't fit.
To me, it's like there were no loose threads from any of the Captain America movies you could have like plucked out, right? Yeah. Like, that would have made more sense. Like, I'm not saying we have to go back to the well and do Hydra again, right? But doing Hydra again would have made more sense than doing an Incredible Hulk sequel.
Or
right?
Zemo, like bringing him back.
Yeah, like know? Zemo back you know, some Red Skull, you know, Hydra thing. Like, I know that's what Winter Soldier was sort of about. So you don't want to just kind of do the same thing over and over and over again. Like, I definitely get that. But with, I hate to say it, but if you want to be like political in today's climate, like Hydra and Nazis, like it's more topical now than it like secret Nazis in the government, like
Tony Stark would basically be like Elon Musk though at this point, right?
I know, and they've already touched on that, but I mean, at least I don't know, we've seen enough from Tony Stark that I believe that in him a little bit more.
sure, but you know what I mean, like in terms
but I think even the Avengers people would hate, right? Like in real life, like, yeah, I get that. So this is a fantasy universe and I get that, but I don't know, man. Like, I just feel like, yes, you're in the shadow of Steve Rogers. You want to do your own thing, but
imposter
then
syndrome.
You're making your own thing, the Incredible Hulk, where I would have preferred if you either took some sort of thread from Falcon and Winter Soldier, or even a thread from Captain America somewhere, even the history of Captain America from the comics, like that played into that a little bit more. It's just a weird movie, and one that when I do my inevitable rewatch, I'm struggling as we talk about the future of the MCU, because like I will do a rewatch probably before Doomsday, so, and I have a year, right, basically, which that's crazy that that movie comes out next year. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, that might get pushed back.
And I wouldn't be surprised, right? Because the only Marvel movies we have next year are Doomsday. You have Spider-Man, which is Sony, coming out in July.
Which is also crazy to consider that, like, Tom Holland's going to be working now with Christopher Nolan and, like,
well, they said it might be a Mandalorian situation where you have an actor, he's going to be in the mask for most of the movie and do a voice performance, which... that's the rumor, but I'm like, I don't understand that too. You might have Daredevil in that movie a lot too, right? And stuff like that. Who knows? We're all hypothesizing. But then you don't have another movie until the next May with Secret Wars. So I could see Doomsday getting pushed in November and then Secret Wars getting pushed later in the year as well, the next year too. But and it's already been pushed, right? Because those were supposed to come out earlier, but all the Kang stuff and Jonathan Majors stuff. But
Blade's never going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, they'll just, who knows, right? But yeah, it's, again, we're in that stumbling block phase still. We'll see how Thunderbolts is. Like, I'm hoping, I do have a little bit more faith in Thunderbolts, because even from the trailers, I do think the trailers for this movie were good. They were stylish and you could see that they were overcompensating, right? Like, yeah, they were going, oof, there's not much here. Let's try to make this.
Let's polish a turd.
Yeah, exactly. With like a kind of like really snappy political espionage thriller trailer. And even this not starting, and you know, I'm a sucker for this kind of stuff too, with the Marvel Studios fanfare where they do the, I like the opening where it just Marvel Studios in black and white. And then it doesn't even say Captain America, which is also very telling. It just says Brave New World. And I don't know, in the end credits, did it say Captain America, Brave New World? But I didn't pay attention to that.
I didn't either. At that point, I was just, oh, that's weird too. Like, that's an odd choice because of like what the movie is. But I don't know. This the whole thing as well, like, I'm just thinking about, you know, where we are in just like blockbuster entertainment as well. And
we're in a weird spot.
It's a very odd time for the MCU in terms of figuring out like what their next move is. Like, it still feels like they haven't figured out a path to the Avengers movie.
And that being the next year. Like, we only have two movies before we get Doomsday. And I get that. It just feels like, I know it's been a lot of years now, right? Like, it'll be 7 years between Endgame and Secret Wars, which is like, you know, and then if you look at between Avengers and Ultron was 3 years. So only 3 years between Avengers movies there. And you had only 1, 2, 3, 4 movies in between 2 Avengers movies. So people saying like, it's rushed. It's like, well, we've had 45 projects.
But it's because they had the core cast though for four Avengers movies established. Like, everybody felt like
as a team
were on,
and stuff like that.
They were on board with them
totally
at that point. We don't even know what the team is.
I know that's the thing. But even going into Infinity War, we didn't really, because after Civil War, you don't really know who the team is either. Right?
I know, but you know Thor and Captain America.
I get it. But we know the characters that we have to play with now. We just haven't seen them interact.
Do we
know? So
I feel like a big part of this is going to be, at least for Doomsday or one of these, because if we're playing with the multiverse and he's, you know, like Tim Blake Nelson's Samuel Stern's talking about the others, I almost feel they're going to maybe do the Deadpool thing a little bit and surprise people with like the lineup being made up of.
Oh, it's going to. Not in Doomsday.
Tobey Maguire and
Secret
like
Wars
that
is going to be that movie. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. And I think that's how you get your portal moment or your big cultural moment again. Yes, it's playing on nostalgia, but like to you know, be a corporate shill or whatever you want to call me about this, like I do understand the appeal of that, of celebrating superhero movies, especially the long history of them now, but it will almost feel like a funeral for them. Like, it's almost gonna feel like, hey, we're bringing back everyone right in this one movie, and that's gonna be the big,
you wanted Thomas
moment.
Jane's Punisher,
yeah,
we're bringing him back,
yeah, you want Nick Cage Ghost Rider, you want all this stuff, like you're gonna get all of that, right? And I do think they'll pluck a certain few as villains. I think Chris Evans will come back as a villain as well. I think you're either going to get Miles Teller or what's his name from the other Fantastic Four movie,
Jamie Bell, Kate Mara,
no, from the original, or like the Jessica Alba ones, the guy who played Mr. Fantastic,
Gerford.
Yeah, Gerford or whatever. Him come back as like a villain as well. And like, I think they might pluck certain people out as like a, you know, so it's not just RDJ's Doctor Doom, but I really do think it's going to be this multiverse. Here are people you know from this universe. Here are the people you know from this one. It's going to be this giant battle on.
It's going to be a game of chess, battle, right? Like, there's going to be Doctor Doom on one end, and then there's going to be whoever is the leader of the Avengers on the other, and they're going to have to curate a team. And
there'll be another time jump. Like, Doomsday is going to end with the incursion of the worlds, right? And it's going to create Battle World, which is basically Earth has been separated into these different places that are all run by these leaders that were, you know, Captain Hydra or whoever, however they want to do it. I'm not super, super familiar with Secret Wars, especially the more recent one, which just seems like it's going to be based off of. But like, I do understand that that's where they're going. And that could be, you know, the people who hate this stuff are going to hate it anyway and just think it's, you know, cameos and fan service and stuff like that. But I do think people who have been there since the beginning, since X-Men, since Spider-Man, even before that, I think the celebration of all of that and that being those two movies, like, will, because we think it's a little bit rushed getting there, I think because they're including this history that goes back 30 years, like, I think will feel like a lot of buildup from all of those movies to that. So I still believe in them that they can execute that, even with these fumbling moments throughout the multiverse saga, right? Like, it does.
And that's what they'll end too, right? Like, yeah. I feel like they'll end the multiverse saga.
Oh,
after
totally.
Secret Wars.
Yeah, and then they'll go into the X-Men, right? Like, yeah, that's what they'll do, and then that'll lead to Avengers versus X-Men. And I do think that they'll do a soft reboot of the universe after Secret Wars, where a lot of people, that will be, like I said, a funeral a little bit, or it'll be like, this is the last time I'm playing this character. And everyone says that, but you know, I hope for many of them it is.
Well, some people, I mean, again, I'm not trying to be morbid or glib on this, but like you know, I mean, William Hurt is dead. Like there are actors in these casts that are much older
Even Anthony Mackie's 46. Dude.
Yeah,
I'm like he's 3 years older than Chris Evans, and you're like, gotta pass the shield down to the young spry guy before me. It's just like you're older, bro. Like
I guess in terms of characters, they're looking
but
I get what you mean as well. Like because like that's like always been the thing like with Bond, right? Where it's like you need to cast somebody that's either like in their late 20s or early 30s.
That way they can play the character
for at least 10 years, right? Yeah. Like in that's like, you know, two or three movies maybe. And so, yeah, with Mackie's future even, you know, like I know like Hemsworth has said, like he'll do it as long as he wants or like as long as they'll have him and things like that, which is fine. Like I don't mind. I mean, as long as they want to do it, that's okay. But yeah, there does come a point where it's like, okay, is this viable anymore? Is this believable in how this is being portrayed and can you pull this off? But also, you know, creating that new group, that new bench, it feels like nobody, like whoever the team is, it's not as cohesive as, you know, the first three phases were, where, you know, you got Captain America, you got Thor, you got Iron Man, you know, you got the base there. And then, you know, from that, you get Hulk and you get Black Widow and, you know, you get Hawkeye. And that felt like audiences had the time to get to know those characters as a group through multiple films and team up movies. Going into this Avengers film, other than knowing that Robert Downey Jr. is going to be playing Dr. Doom, it doesn't feel as though we really know that what the dynamic is.
Well, I guess you got to look at this more like the first Avengers movie than I think Infinity War and Endgame, even though you're going to have a lot of characters that we've seen in solo movies. A lot of them haven't interacted, right? Like some of them did in Endgame, obviously, right? And then you're going to have Thor around, which Thor seems like the organic leader at this point because he's the one of the big three that's still around, right? Like, and I think wanting to bring him back to some more serious tones after the Taika Waititi era, and speaking of someone who they let make his movies for better or for worse, right? One for better and one for worse. And like, and I think that's like your organic kind of person you bring in to kind of have the past, present, and future move forward, especially when he and Spider-Man, I think, will have a big part of it as well because of the relationship with Tony Stark and things like that. Like they'll play off of that. I think Thor and Spider-Man are the two that I would really kind of focus on. And then you're going to have, you know, Doctor Strange and Captain Marvel and Shang-Chi. And it'll be interesting. I'm excited to see certain characters interact with each other that haven't. I mean, we had that all that, like, we're still playing off that loose thread from the end of Shang-Chi that they haven't referenced, right? Like where you actually had Ruffalo and Brie Larson and like and people like that, and you had Wong showing up in every other movie and then he just disappeared again. And then like it seems like there's gonna have to be a lot of groundwork in that first act of Doomsday, right? And then which is that movie's going to be fucking 3 hours long, you know it. And then like, cause it's going to have the first hour is going to have to be set up because we haven't gotten that set up in other movies. Right. And I'm sure the very end of Fantastic Four will set up the immediate beginning of Doomsday, but they still have a lot of work. And Thunderbolts feels like another one of those weird ones in between, right? That just feels like it's going to be an action movie, which can be okay, right? Like that doesn't mean that that's a bad thing. If it's a singular Suicide Squad style action movie, hopefully more of the James Gunn Suicide Squad than the David Ayer one.
God.
And
Guardians as well, right? Like
Guardians, I mean, just yeah, it's really playing off of that. And I like the idea of a bunch of misfits coming together from the MCU and us going, who are these people? Why are they together? Kind of thing. Or not who are they? We know most of them, but bringing back
everyone loves Ghost.
Ghost and Taskmaster, right? Like, I think it could be a fun movie, and the trailers seem like it could be fun. As long as they just keep it simple and just make you know, make a fun movie that doesn't necessarily need to tie into everything. That can be okay, right? But it just depends on what, if they want to make it a sequel to fucking Iron Man 2 or some shit. You're like, why are you doing this?
Yeah. Like, what else could they make? Like, Thor the Dark World.
they're like, we brought back
the elves.
Yeah. Like, the dark elves. And you're like, why is this in this movie? It would be the same. It would be the same thing as bringing back Incredible Hulk stuff in a Captain America movie. You're like, wait, what? And then
shouldn't that have been in She-Hulk, really? Like, a lot of that stuff? Would have made more sense in terms of, like, the cohesiveness, and you would have, you know, Mark Ruffalo, who was in the show, and obviously it wouldn't probably be a show at that point. They probably would have made that a movie, but...
Like, oh, Christopher Eccleston is back as Malekith in Thunderbolts. And you're like, wait, what?
Everyone's favorite villain.
It's very strange. So I'm obviously clearly still excited. I've been obsessing over, and I know the track record for Fantastic Four hasn't been great, but
I think this one will be better than the Tim Story movie or than the Josh Trank.
Yeah, the very low bar on both of those, right? And I know some people look back on those Fantastic Four movies, the Alba ones and stuff like that, the Chiklis era, and then and with like kind of fond corny memories of them, right? And it'll be fun to go back and rewatch those before this, because I haven't seen them in ages. And I don't know. Yeah, I think that one feels like the one where like the reset, like, oh, we're actually like putting a lot into this movie, where Brave New World and Thunderbolts feel like the, you know, okay, we're gonna put these out. And Jake Schreier, I have no real opinion on, really.
Matt, you talk about Robot and Frank all the time.
But I know people really like Beef, and Lee Sung Jin did a pass on the script. So,
but it seems like they're hiring a lot of TV directors now to make features between Matt Shankman and
I've been watching a lot of TV, and the closer you get, you know, TV, it is serialized, right?
Yeah, and I've always said it's televisual in terms of
it's
presented.
I still think that it's cinematic as well, but I think from its storytelling, it is very serialized. So I understand the bringing in TV people who maybe are a little bit more used to that, where you come in and you are making an episode essentially, right? Or things like that. So I definitely understand that. And I think a lot of these people have made great TV shows. Like, I haven't watched Beef, but obviously a lot of accolades, people say it's great. But I don't know. Thunderbolts, I am more excited for, even if it's just like a you know, fun movie. And I like Wyatt Russell as Beef U.S. Bolts. Agent, like, yeah, and stuff like that, too. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to
it. And that's also another thing. It's like that, like... Wyatt Russell in Thunderbolts, I get, because it makes sense in terms of the anti-hero type character that they're going for, but it's like him being in another Captain America movie might have added more to that story for Anthony Mackie, you know, and to continue to fight someone who believes that they're entitled to a role that's not theirs.
But I guess maybe they feel like they... already tackled that in Falcon and Winter Soldier, so
I know it's just that there's not much there for Anthony Mackie or for Sam Wilson in his own movie, which is so weird.
I agree. Any other last thoughts before we kind of wrap up?
No, I mean, I feel like what you're saying, where, you know, this feels basically just like a way to buy time for essentially Fantastic Four, with, I think, Thunderbolts could be a wild card in terms of how it goes. Like, you know, I think once we get closer to that movie, you know, it'll either be successful based on if they can pull that off, or it will just be considered the leftovers of Guardians and Suicide Squad and, you know, Marvel trying to make that movie, and, you know, like what impact that film has on Doomsday or the rest of the MCU, I'm not really sure. Like, obviously Bucky they'll bring back for
you know, I think Avengers, but
Florence Pugh as well, yeah. Right? Like, and
Ghost.
Ghost especially. I don't think it really will. Like, much like this movie didn't really have much to do with the multiverse saga other than the one thing at the end, right? Like, yeah.
I think it's just saying that, okay, well, you know, Sam Wilson's here to stay. And even though it's like, yeah, I guess, in a shrug kind of way, and that Sam will be, you know, continuing to move forward into, because it does say Captain America will return at the end. So it's like, this is who? Yeah. Well, for now, this is our Captain America, you know?
Yeah, yeah. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. We really, really do appreciate it. What else do we have out right now, Eric? I forget.
Well, we have a review coming up for The Monkey, which we recorded. There are interviews for Bring Them Down in Universal Language, Paying for It. Companion, we did a review for recently. You know, it's been a slow start to the year, but we've got stuff coming up. There's stuff we're looking forward to. We're hearing a lot of great stuff about Mickey 17, yeah, which is exciting. You know, let us see that bong. And so with that, I think, you know, we're getting into, you know, we're starting to come out of the winter and into the spring. And with that, you know, like, we'll be covering probably the Daredevil series. You know, we've got stuff in the works.
Heck yeah. You can follow all of Eric's other work on Rogers TV at rogerstv.com/cinemascene. You can follow both of us on all those social medias at Matt Rohrbeck or at EM6211 or Eric Marchin in some places. You can go to our Letterboxd, which is Untitled_Movies, where you can find everything from our video reviews to our 25 most anticipated movies of 2025. That is a nice, convenient list over there if you didn't listen to our 3.5-hour episode on everything coming out this year. And I think that's everything. I'm very excited for Mickey 17, and I'm excited for Thunderbolts, and I'm excited, you know, I am a, you know, an MCU sicko, and even with, you know,
you're popping those pills like Harrison Ford as President Ross.
And I guess you can find our MCU rankings over on Letterboxd as well. Where did this rank for us?
It stank, Matt. The rank was stank. Yeah.
It was after I looked at everything, I was like, you know, coming out of the movie, I struggled being like, you know, I was like, it was fine. You know, it was disappointing, I guess, but I didn't think it was terrible. But then the more you talk about it, you're like, you know what, because it's so middle of the road and so strange in some of the decisions it makes, it ends up low because, but then when you make, I will wrap in a second, but when
Matt,
you make
struggle you with this one.
Well, when you make a movie that has so many ties to Eternals and Incredible Hulk, which are ranked number 41 and 43 for the Incredible Hulk, which is dead last for me. What do you expect, right? Like, is it better than Quantumania? Yeah. Is it better than Secret Invasion? Yeah. Is it better than Thor the Dark World? Yeah. Is it better than everything else? When you start to look at it, it's like, there are things I enjoyed in Ant-Man and the Wasp or Agatha All Along or Moon Knight, if you're looking at the TV shows, or even Iron Man 2 and Thor Love and Thunder and Multiverse of Madness and stuff that's in that kind of lower third of
mid-Marvel.
Even mid stuff I go to, you know, that, you know, but mid is still very good to me. Like, you go up to like 21 with Hawkeye and above for me on my personal list. And I still really like love everything. And even Age of Ultron, I am an apologist for Age of Ultron. Like, I, after rewatching that movie leading into Endgame, like, I liked it a lot more than I did the first time. And especially looking back on it now, seeing some of his later stuff, I think it's
evergreen.
James Gator's great. And like, I think just that team dynamic between all of them is so much fun. And like, I really like that movie. And then even if you go to the first Captain America, the first Avenger, like, that's where I don't love that movie. And that's when you get into the Marvels, Multiverse of Madness, Falcon and Winter Soldier, Thor, Love and Thunder, Black Widow. Those are the mid-Marvel to me, like the kind of like.
But even those are better than this.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Those are mid-Marvel to me, where then you go into the first Doctor Strange, which I know a lot of people love, but I'm kind of mid on it. Iron Man 2, which I kind of still think is okay.
Shot on film.
Like. And then you get into that lower tier of Thor, Captain Marvel, Ant-Man, and then this is where that kind of falls. Ant-Man and the Wasp, sorry, and even the original Ant-Man. I know we're Ant-Man haters here. Like, I don't really like those movies, all three of them.
No,
but...
and I think the first one, like, it has the shadow of Edgar Wright having been a big part of it and then left, and that's always going to be the what if of Ant-Man. That would make a great what if episode where it's just Edgar Wright actually makes Ant-Man and what that would look like.
Oh, God. Could you imagine? But then, yeah, when I'm looking at the actual things, I put it in that very low tier of the higher end of the very bottom tier, which is Captain America, Quantumania, Secret Invasion, Eternals, Dark World, Incredible Hulk. Like, that is a group in its own, I think. Yeah. And I know you hate Deadpool.
Those are the
and Wolverine.
Dark Avengers.
I know you hate Deadpool and Wolverine, yep. But I do think that's a very you thing, right?
But I think, like, there's a lot of people that do feel that way when it comes
to movie people.
I think that that's like a thing where it's like, that's an extreme movie on either end. Like, you either really like it,
love it, or hate it.
Or you hate it. Like, there's no in between. Like, that's not a movie that's mid.
No, it's either going to be at number, where do I even have it? Oh, do I not even have it on here? Oh, I forgot to put it on this list. So I got to do that. Let's do that live right now before we wrap, because that's interesting. Because I knew I was missing something on here. I was like, wait, where is it on my list? And I don't have it, because that would have been the last one before this, and I must have forgot to put it on. Okay, everyone, we're live doing this. Eric has it very low on his list. So does Eric's hypothesis of love it or hate it, yes, it's gonna be, because it's gonna be,
you have to, especially if you go back to that episode and
oh, I love it, dude. I'm not denying that. I think the movie's great, and
your
I really
team Blake Lively for the It Ends With Us.
See, I would have it in my top 10. So you have it in your bottom five, and I have it in my top 10, which is very funny. Like, I can't.
That's the thing with that movie. I don't think that's a mid film. Like, I don't think you can put that in the middle somewhere. Like, I think
in
it
good
is
conscience,
one or the
I
other.
Cannot put it above Iron Man 3, which I know we're both lovers of Iron Man 3, where no one else really is. Or no, there are people who love that movie.
I have Echo down below as well.
Oh, see, yeah, I haven't even put Echo. Some of the TV shows I kind of forgot to put on this list here. Echo,
well, if you have Secret Invasion, you gotta put Echo.
Oof, Echo's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Oof. Like, I start to go, like, would I rather watch Quantumania or Echo? And then I go, kind of Quantumania. So
Yikes.
Echo's at number 41 for me under Quantumania, above Secret Invasion.
I have 47 in total. You have...
Oh, I have 45 now that I've added those two. So I don't know what else I'm missing.
Well, I put the Guardian show, Werewolf by Night.
Oh, the holiday special? Yeah. Oh, I don't know if I have the holiday special on here either. And Werewolf by Night, I don't know if I have on here either. Okay. We're doing it live, everyone. Holiday special. Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special and Werewolf by Night. There we go. Those are the two that I was missing. You have Guardians that low? The holiday special?
No, I 31. Oh. I have it at 31.
Oh, okay. That's, you know, again,
it's fine.
The Marvel movies are, the quality in that top half for me are so good that you even get something that's at 20. Like, I can't put Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special above Avengers, but I can put it above Hawkeye. So,
yeah,
I
mean, they're both Christmas specials in a way.
Even Age of Ultron, actually, it's gonna go lower. It's gonna go 24 for me, above Captain America: First Avengers, but below Age of Ultron.
The highest of like the new stuff I have is WandaVision and Loki.
Yes, yeah, I have both of those very high as well. Werewolf by Night, I liked when I watched it, but I haven't thought about it that much.
I think about Ted, though, when I think about Werewolf by Night.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
I think I like that a little bit more than the holiday special. But again, I think I'd rather watch Age of Ultron than Werewolf by Night. But that's me. Yeah, I have Loki very high as well. I have Loki in my top five. I have WandaVision in my top eight. So, okay. Added those. That added about 10 minutes to this episode. So now it's updated, everyone. I'll add these to our personal, I'll add our personal lists or update them to our untitled underscore movies letterboxed. So you guys can go see Eric and my rankings there. All right, everybody. Until next time.
What's a Red Hulk?